إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth session reading from the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya. His explanation from Riyad al-Salihin, the chapter entitled Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat, yani hastening towards good deeds, hastening to do good deeds, and urging the one who is headed towards good to advance with eagerness and without hesitation. The topic that we're going to discuss tonight entails a number of different points. From amongst the most important of them is hastening in seeking knowledge and then acting upon it. Yani hastening to seek knowledge, being diligent in seeking knowledge, and hastening to act upon that knowledge without delay. And this was the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unlike many of the people today. And of course, when we say many of the people of today, we mean many of the people of today. Naam. And perhaps even ourselves, we're included in that to some extent or another. Unless we actually follow the pattern of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and hasten when the opportunity presents itself to do good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the opportunity passes by. Before we go into this topic tonight and reading the hadith for tonight, hadith number 89, the third hadith in this chapter, we want to look at some of the topics that we talked about last week just briefly. From the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5, the first question being, summarize the incident narrated in the hadith of Abi Surwa'a, Uqba ibn Harith, radiallahu anhu. Summarize the incident that is mentioned in the hadith of Uqba ibn al-Harith, radiallahu anhu. Anybody remember this hadith? Yani the hadith of Abi Surwa'a. And he said that he prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody remember this hadith? No.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed the Asr prayer at Medina, and after, as soon as the prayer finishes, he rushed passing by the next of the companions.
No. Yani he's saying that he prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina the Asr prayer, and when the prayer was finished, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up and hastened to the rooms of one of his wives.
And the people were astonished.
Yani maybe they were alarmed at the speed with which he got up from the prayer and walked out, because he didn't normally do like that. Now, so when he came back and he realized that the people were amazed or astonished or surprised at his speed,
he said that,
explained to them. Now, something was given to him and he had to distribute it, and he wanted to give it out yani without any further delay. What was given to him?
Huh?
Some gold. ذكرت يعني شيئا من تبر عندنا, yani was left in the house, some gold that had been given to be distributed to those who were entitled, who were needy. He remembered it while he was praying. So when the prayer was finished, سلم ثم قام مسرعا, He made salam and he got up quickly and hastened to take care of it. He went to the house and he ordered somebody to distribute it. Naam. Naam. The second question is related to that yani incident. Discuss the first point of benefit, the first fa'idah explained by the Shaykh rahimahullah from this hadith. Discuss the first fa'idah. Naam, Abu Sa'id. That a person should hasten. Yani you understand from this action of the Prophet ﷺ that when a person thinks of, become aware of, is informed of, is reminded of something good, they should hasten to do it. What else? Yani what else did he say related to this point? Naam. Because the person doesn't know when the opportunity to do good will pass them by. They don't know when they might be, suddenly overtaken by death. And then the opportunity to do good will pass them by. So the Shaykh, he said what? He said that it is incumbent upon the human being, yani to pay attention to this. Yani to be an intelligent person, a smart person, kayyis. Yani the one who does what? What does the smart person do? Ya'amal lima ba'd al-maut. And he prepares, he does that which is necessary to prepare himself for that which is going to come after death. And he prepares, sends something ahead for yani the accounting. And does not take this matter lightly. The matter of what? Of trying to do good deeds before it's too late. Indeed, we will be called to account. And then we will be like those people say, oh Allah, let me go back. And I will do righteous deeds. Now I have seen and I have heard and now I'm certain. The matter has become clear, but it's too late. The third question, memorize the ayat in the 87th surah, 16th through the 19th ayat, used by the Shaykh as dalil, that the akhirah is more worthy of our attention, yani than this dunya. Anybody memorize this ayat? Naam, Nadir. Naam. What is the meaning of this? بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ حَيَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. Huh? They prefer. Yeah, they prefer? You all. تُؤْثِرُونَ أَنْتُمْ. Prefer the life of this world. While the Akhirah is خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. It is better and it is more lasting. Naam. And this is yani a clear proof yani that should be sufficient for anyone to yani re-evaluate and to take another look at what we are doing and how we are yani occupying ourselves with the affairs of the dunya, hastening to take every opportunity while we are letting yani that which is better and more lasting, the opportunity to achieve it, pass us by. Question number four, mention a dalil, a proof, an evidence which shows clearly that no one will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone, not even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, a dalil, proof. Naam, Musa.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no one will enter into Al-Jannah except because of their deeds.
No one will enter the... لَنْ يَدْكُلَ الْجَنَّةِ أَحَدٌ بِعَمَلِهِ. No person will ever, لَنْ, will ever enter the Jannah by their deeds alone. And they said, not even you, Ya Rasulullah?
Then he said, yes, even me, except Allah covers me with his mercy.
Now, he said, not even me. And he knows into the Jannah by the deeds alone. Rather, it will be by the rahmah of Allah and the fadl of Allah. And this is something that is achieved by what? By doing deeds that bring you near to Allah to earn his favor, to earn his mercy. Naam, and the Prophet ﷺ said, not even me, except that Allah covers me completely, overwhelms me with His rahmah. After this, question number five, explain how the Shaykh used hadith number 88, yani the hadith of Uqbah ibn Harith. Explain how the Shaykh used this hadith to prove that the Prophet ﷺ did not have ilm, knowledge of the ghaib, the unseen. Abu Bakr.
The Prophet ﷺ used to get just like this, like what it is
And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Zakartu," I remembered. That means he had forgotten, and he remembered. So the Shaykh, he said what? That the Prophet forgets like other people. Uh-huh. Huh? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Now, if he forgets something that he knew before, كَانَ مَعْلُومًا عِنْدُهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, if he forgets that which he used to know, he knew at one time, then فَالْأَوْلَى مِنْ بَابِ الْأَوْلَى, then it is more likely, more right, that we expect that he would not know something that he never knew before. He never knew it. So how will he know something he never knew when he forgets even that which he knew as a human being? Now, so this is, yani the Shaykh is showing here, even logically, anyhow, it is, it could be understood, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make it clear. As in the ayat, in question number 6, mentioned the ayat, in the 6th surah, 50th ayat, which clearly refutes those who claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ilm, knowledge of the ghaib. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they claim that he had knowledge of the unseen. What is this ayat that the Shaykh mentioned here? Who memorized this ayat? Who knows which ayat it is, even if you didn't memorize it? You know the meaning of it. You know the meaning of it. Nobody else knows the meaning of it? Now. Naam, yani, what is the meaning? Somebody else tell us, what's the meaning of this ayat? Naam, Sharif. Yani Allah is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the, publicly, openly, naam. The what? The treasures of Allah. I don't say, I'm not claiming that I have possession or control of the treasures of Allah. Uh-huh. Nor do I know the unseen. Nor do I tell you that I am an angel. Yani in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say publicly in front of everyone, La a'lamul ghaib. I don't know the unseen. This is known only to Allah or anything from it that He reveals to the angels or the Prophet if He tells them about it, informs them of it. Naam. Question number 7, memorize and discuss the ayat in which Allah orders the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, I am only a human being like you. 18th surah, 110th ayat. Yani, so who memorized this ayat? And we also want to have some understanding, what is the significance of it? Naam, Mustafa. Kul innama ana. Yuha ilayya annama ilahukum ilahun wahid. Naam. What's the meaning of this? Somebody else. What is the meaning of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet, Qul, to say, Naam, Abdul Karim. Oh yeah, what is the meaning of this ayah? أنما إلهكم إله واحد. What is the meaning of this? That your إله is one إله. It's only one. The one that is to be worshipped by you is only one. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is ordered by Allah to say, indeed, verily, certainly, I am only, no more than a bashar, a human being. Mithlukum, just like you all. Except that what? It has been revealed to me. Yani revelation has been given to me. And the most important thing that was revealed to me in that revelation, right, is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your ilah is one. The one that should be worshipped is only one. What is the significance of this ayat? Naam. Usama, naam.
Suddenly, he wasn't created from light as some people believe.
Yani that the Prophet is not created from light, like some people believe, rather he's a human being. What else can we say? What else?
Yes, and also it involves two patterns.
Two?
Based on Allah's commanding the Prophet, say, I'm just like you.
The Prophet is commanding the Prophet, Allah is commanding the Prophet to tell the people that I'm just like you, I'm a human being. Now?
That there's no difference between him and...
There's no difference between him and the other people, except...
Except that Allah...
Revelation, that prophethood. And the Shaykh also, he mentioned here, that there's a word here that's significant, nadir. Now? That it would have been sufficient if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to say, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. And we can figure from that he's basharun, he's human. That means we can understand that if he's human like the rest of the humans, right? But Allah, confirmed and clarified so that there's no doubt. The person doesn't have to figure it out. مِثْلُكُمْ, just like you all. Have no distinction over the rest of the people. Human characteristics like the rest of the human beings. Requiring food, clothing, drink, rest, sleep, everything, protection from harm like other human beings, except that revelation was given to him. Question number 8, give an example which shows how serious the matter of paying one's debts was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sa'id. A man was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray over him, person who had died, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did what? Refused to pray over him. Why? He asked, was he in debt? Anybody want to add to this? Naam. Now, a man from the Ansar was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray over him, and he stepped towards it to pray, and then he stopped, and he asked, does he have any debt? And they said, yes, he has debt. What kind of debt? Three dinars, three gold coins. And the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, and he doesn't have anything to cover it. So the Prophet ﷺ stepped back. And the effect of him, stepping back and refusing to pray over this man, was seen in the faces of the people. Their real concern and their understanding, realization, grasping the seriousness of the matter, that he was going to pray over him, but because of this debt, he refused. And he said to them, what? Sallu ala sahibukum. You pray upon your companion. You people pray upon him. And then somebody came forward, right? Who was that? Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu. He stepped up quickly. What about us? When somebody dies, and maybe they have no one to pay their funeral expense, and the people hesitate, and the body stays and lays. But Abu Qatada, in this hadith also, is an example for us, that he didn't hesitate. He stepped up and said, his debt is upon me, I will pay it. And the Prophet stepped forward and he prayed over him. And this is a tremendous hadith for us to reflect upon the seriousness of debt. Question number 9, discuss the comprehensiveness of debt according to the Shaykh rahimahullah with examples of what it includes. Comprehensiveness of debt and what it includes. And how comprehensive is in debt? And what is Waleed? And an example of it is what? Somebody gives some cash advance. Okay, they pay for something in advance before receiving the product. That's an example of debt. Naam. A khatib. Your rent is an example of debt. Yani, until you pay it, it's due upon you, right? You're liable for it. What else? Naam. He said even the taxi cab. The person gets in a taxi. Until they pay the fare, they're in debt. The meaning of debt, the Shaykh said, is what? He said it is, Naam, Abu Sa'id. Whatever a person is liable to pay, anything that is a liability upon you, that you're responsible to pay, then that is a debt. All of that is debt. And the Shaykh said, hasten to pay the debts. And finally, memorize and discuss the final supplication with which the Shaykh, rahimahullah, closes the explanation of this hadith. Final supplication. The Shaykh closed this. Naam, Nadir. Naam, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, supplication which he said, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, which means, O Allah, help me
to remember you
and to be thankful to be thankful to you,
and to worship you in the best manner.
And the Shaykh, he actually modified the words a little bit. Huh? He said a little different, that's the meaning of it, right? He said, what? Note. Naam, he said, Allahumma a'inni, or ana as'alullah, an yu'inuni wa iyyakum. Yani the Shaykh, he said, I ask Allah to help me, wa iyyakum, and you all also. Naam. This is some of the points that we covered last week. Tonight, inshallah, we're taking the third hadith, hadith number 89, the third hadith in this chapter. Any hastening or being diligent in seeking knowledge and hastening to act upon it without delay. And this was the way the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, unlike many of the people of today. The hadith, عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال رجل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد. Yani it's narrated from Jabir radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Uhud, yani on the occasion of the battle of Uhud. He said, he asked, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قُلْتِلْتُ فَأَيْنَ أَنَا فَأَيْنَ أَنَا. Yani he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you think? What do you say? If I am killed, where will I be? Then where will I be? فَأَيْنَ أَنَا. Yani, if I am killed fighting in the way of Allah, then as a result of that, where will I be? As a result of being killed in the way of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Fil Jannah. You will be in paradise. فَأَلْقَى تَمَرَاتٍ كُنَّ فِي يَدِهِ ثُمَّ قَاتَلَ حَتَّى قُتِلَ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. At this point, when the Prophet ﷺ told him, you will be in Jannah, that the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this will be that you will be entered into paradise. فَأَلْقَى تَمَرَاتٍ كُنَّ فِي يَدِهِ. So he threw away. فَأَلْقَى, as a result of that answer, he threw away some dates that were in his hand. And what? قَاتَلَ. And fought حَتَّى قُتِلَ. Until he was killed. He fought until he was killed. And linguistically note, يعني, that when the Prophet told him in Jannah, he said, يعني, the narrator of the hadith said, فَأَلْقَى. As a result of that promised reward, this is what he did. He immediately threw the dates that were in his hand so as not to even be delayed a moment to eat those dates first. And if maybe a person might think, I'm getting ready to go on the battlefield, let me just eat my last meal and then go to the war. Nah, he said, no delay with this matter. Not even to eat a few dates in his hand. But rather, فألقى. As a result of that, he threw the dates that were in his hand. ثم قاتل. And then after that, immediately he fought until he was killed. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh, in the explanation of this hadith, that is Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, قال المؤلف rahimahullah, yani that the author, meaning Al-Imam An-Nawwi rahimahullah, the author who collected these hadith, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, فيما نقله عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه وعن أبيه. Notice that the Shaykh here said what? An Jabir ibn Abdullah. In the narration of the hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin, Al-Imam al-Nawawi narrated An Jabir radiallahu anhu. And the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said An Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu wa an abihi. Huh? Yani the Shaykh mentioned his father, who was also a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said An Jabir ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, Jabir, and his father. Naam. He said that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Uhud, O Messenger of Allah, what do you think, what do you say, if I am killed, or if I fight? Yani in qataltum, qataltu hatta قُتِلْتُ. Yani if I fight until I am killed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you will be in the paradise. So the man threw some dates that were with him, and then he stepped forward and he fought until he was killed radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh says, in terms of the benefits of this hadith and the evidences and the things that it points to, فَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى مُبَادَرَةِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِلَى الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. And this is the first point of benefit that the Shaykh mentions from this hadith. And this hadith is an evidence of what? Mubadara, as-sahaba, the hastening, rushing, hurrying of the companions of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with all of them, ila al-amal as-salihah, to do righteous deeds. And this hadith is a dalil that they used to hasten without hesitation. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَتَأَخَّرُونَ فِيهَا وَهَذَا شَأْنُهُمْ. And that they didn't hold back, they didn't delay, they didn't put off, they didn't postpone, they didn't procrastinate. لَا يَتَأَخَّرُونَ فِيهَا, in doing good deeds, as is the condition of the people today. وَهَذَا شَأْنُهُمْ. And this was their affair, this was the way the companions were, this is the way that they were, that was their normal way. Yani, when that man was told, yani when he asked, if I am killed, where will I be? And he said, you'll be in paradise. Then he immediately threw the dates away that were in his hand, and he fought until he was killed. وَلِهَذَا كَانَتْ, Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا, because of this hastening to do good deeds, and not delaying in doing them, because this was their normal way, this was their regular mode of behavior, the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا, for this reason, كَانَتْ لَهُمْ الْعِزَّةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. This, for this reason, they were given, Allah granted them al-izzah, honor, respect, in this world and in the next life. Naam. In this world, they were respected. And in the next life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor them. Because of what? Yani, if we are suffering from disrespect, then maybe we should look at our relationship with Allah, and our obedience to Allah, and our hastening to do good deeds. And the Shaykh says, وَنَذِيرُ هَذَا أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطَبَ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ عِيدٍ ثُمَّ نَزَلَ فَتَقَدَّمَ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ فَخَطَبَهُنَّ وَأَمَرَهُنَّ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Yani, and similar to this, the Shaykh has given an example of the women, amongst the companions of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, the women, yani, sahabiyat. Similar to this, hastening, rushing to do good without delay, was that the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, on a day of Eid, he gave a khutbah, he addressed the people, he spoke to the people, and then he came down. And he went forward to the place of the women, yani to the area behind the men where the women were, and he also addressed them. And he commanded them to give charity. Specifically, from amongst what he said to the women, he commanded them to give charity. فَجَعَلَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ مِنْهُنَّ تَأْخُذُ خُرْزَهَا or خِرْزَهَا, both of them, yani with dhamma of fatta, وَخَاتَمَهَا or خَاتِمَهَا, both of them with fatta and kasra, yani is in Arabic. Yani, so a woman from amongst them, or women from amongst them, began to take from their earrings and their rings from their fingers, and they were throwing them into the garment of Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he was gathering what they were giving, until he, or so that he would give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the Shaykh comments on this, saying that they did not hold back, they did not delay. Yani when he ordered them to give sadaqah, they gave. Even they took their earrings off and the rings off their fingers, without hesitation, without delay. Radiallahu anhunna. May Allah be pleased with them. He said, even, not only they gave sadaqah, but they even gave from their jewelry. Not just from the money, the coins that they had, but they gave from their jewelry. The Shaykh, he says, and this is an example of the women, how they hastened to give without hesitation. Yani how they hastened forward to do that which good in general. Men and women from amongst those who accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the Shaykh says, وَفِي حَدِيثِ جَابِرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مِنْ فَوَائِدِ. In this hadith of Jabir, there are benefits from amongst them. أَنَّ مَنْ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That indeed the one who is killed in the way of Allah, then he will be in paradise. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ هُوَ الَّذِي يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. But the question is, but who is the one that actually can be, it can be said, yani, for sure, that he is the one who has been killed in the way of Allah. And the Shaykh says, الَّذِي يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ هُوَ الَّذِي يُقَاتِلْ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. Yani the one who can be said for sure, certainly, that this person has been killed in the way of Allah and he is guaranteed Jannah, it is the one who يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, he is the one who يُقَاتِلْ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا, and he is the one who fights so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be most high. Yani that the kalimat al-tawheed, yani the da'wah to Islam, so that it will be above every other way of life, every other religion or system or madhab or whatever. Whoever fights for that purpose, for what? To establish the deen of Allah, to make it most high in the earth. This is the one who it can be said that he has yani been killed fighting in the way of Allah. Not the one who fights hamiyatan, wala shaja'atan, wala riyan. Not the one who fights yani out of fanaticism for his tribe or his nation or his people. Or the one who fights just because he's brave and he wants to display his bravery. Nor the one who fights riyan, yani to be seen by the people, to be praised by the people, so that the people can say something about this person, mashallah, look what they did. Innama yuqatil. Rather, it is only the one who yani fights to make the word of Allah the most high. Then the Shaykh talks about these three things in a little bit of detail. He says, as far as the one who fights hamiyatan, yani as far as the one who fights hamiyatan, yani out of fanaticism for his nation or his tribe or his people, like those who fight min ajli al-qawmi al-arabiyya. This is an example. Like those who fight what? For Arab nationalism. Naam. I think it was the 67 war. Maybe most of you were not around at that time. They were fighting for Arab nationalism. Yani the Arab states came together under the leadership of Jamal Nasser, the leader of Egypt, and the people from Syria and Jordan, and they all came together to fight against Israel under the banner of what? Arab nationalism. And they lost. And lands were taken from Egypt and other Arab countries. He said it is not the one, for example, who fights for the sake of Arab nationalism. This is not in the way of Allah. This is just fanaticism for one's people or one's tribe. And likewise, similarly, whoever fought shaja'atan, yani just to show they're courageous or that they're brave, yani the one who his bravery causes him to fight. Just because he's brave. Because he's brave. He just wants to fight. Because to show that he's brave. And usually the Shaykh said, if a person is described with some characteristic, they love to show that, to manifest that characteristic that they possess. And this one also, and if he is killed, he is not killed in the way of Allah. And likewise, the one who was killed, mura'atan, wa'iyadu billah. The one who what is killed, yani mura'atan, yani ria'an, or ria'an, yani the one who is killed just to be seen, so that people can see them. Liyura makanuhu, so that his position or his station or his status, yani his position of bravery, of courage, can be seen by others, so that people can say that see that he is a man who has fought against the enemies, the disbelieving enemies. So this one likewise is not one who is killed in the way of Allah. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ was asked about a person who fights out of fanaticism for his people, or the person who fights to show his bravery, or a person who fights so that he may be seen, so that people may see him. He said that he was asked which of these is the one who fights in the way of Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَاتَلَ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then the one who fights so that the word of Allah, yani the tawheed of Allah and the deen of Allah will be uppermost in the land, then this is the one, he is the one who fights and dies in the way of Allah. This hadith is reported by Bukhari from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and others. The hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim and other books with different wording. And I just want to make a note here that in one of the narrations of Bukhari, yani it's mentioned specifically that the Prophet ﷺ said that it was said to him, a man fights hamiyatan, out of fanaticism for his people, or a man fights shaja'atan, out of bravery, or a man fights ria'an. So which of these is in the way of Allah? He said, the one who fights so that the word of Allah may be uppermost, this is the one who fights in the way of Allah. Yani in this hadith he mentioned these three things that the Shaykh mentioned, that a person fights what? Out of pride and honor to protect his people, his nation, his tribe. Or shaja'atan, yani a person fights just because he's brave. Or a person riyan fights so that he may be seen by the people and praised by the people. But in other narrations of this hadith, and the exact same words came in Sahih Muslim, but in another narration of Bukhari, and in Muslim also, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ was asked by a person who said, one of us fights ghadaban, yani out of anger, or one of us fights hamiyatan, and ghadaban means that the person fights while they are in a state of anger, to get revenge out of anger. This is also mentioned authentically in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that this is not in the way of Allah. And in another narration in Bukhari, it's mentioned that a man asks the Prophet ﷺ about a person who fights lil-maghnam, or a person fights lil-dhikr, or a person fights li-yara makanuhu. And the meaning of maghnam, it means that a person fights for what? Al-ghanima, to get the spoils of war. They're fighting just for this, for what they're going to get of material benefit. Or dhikran, it means so that the people, yani so the person will be mentioned, so they will become famous amongst the people that they fought. And yani, we already mentioned yani, to be seen, yani for a person's station or status of bravery to be seen by the people. These are some of the other things that are mentioned yani, in some of the narrations in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that a person fights yani, out of fanaticism for the protection of his tribe, or a person fights to show his bravery or to be seen by the people, or fights for the spoils of war, or fights out of anger, or a person fights just so that there will be some mention among the people of him, yani mention of his fighting and his bravery and his skills and so on. After this, the Shaykh says, وَفِي هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى حِرْصِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ الْأُمُورِ. And this is another point that the Shaykh makes in this hadith of great importance. In this hadith is an evidence of the diligence or the eagerness of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, to know about the affairs, to know about different affairs. Yani hirs ala ma'arifatul umur, to know about different affairs. They want to know about them. Unlike many of the people today who don't even care to ask a question. Or if they ask, they only ask just for the purpose of knowing, not for acting upon it, right? Here he said this hadith is also a dalil of the eagerness of the companions to know about the affairs. And this is because in this hadith is mentioned that a man asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was from the ada, the habit or the custom of the companions in general, that they used to ask questions about affairs so that they would know. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَفُوتُونَ الْفُرْصَ حَتَّى يَسَلُوا النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they never used to let an opportunity pass them by to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about affairs. Yani, a scholar came to us and maybe we don't even have any questions. Any questions? Nobody has a question. I mean, that's not compared to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, right? But the point is, the same point, that they didn't used to lose an opportunity to ask so that they could know. But many of us, we'd never ask a question, as though maybe we don't want to know. But this wasn't the way of the companions. They used to ask. And why did they used to ask? لأنهم يستفيدون من هذا علما وعملا. Because they used to benefit from asking the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم علما وعملا. Yani they used to benefit from getting knowledge, and they used to benefit by acting upon that knowledge when they received it. علما وعملا. They used to take the knowledge, that was a benefit. And then they used to act upon it, and that was a second benefit. And the Shaykh says, clarifying this point, indeed, the one who has knowledge, the alim bit sharia, the one who, and notice he said, al alim bit sharia. He didn't say the alim bil, what? Chemistry or mathematics or science or engineering, which is good, no problem. We're not saying there is no benefit in that, sure. But the Shaykh, he's talking specifically about the great knowledge, and that is al alim bit sharia. The one who has knowledge of the Sharia. And the Prophet ﷺ said, from amongst the most, I mean, it said that from the most hated of people to him was the one who was alim bid dunya jahil bil akhirah. Or jahil bid deen. And the one who has knowledge of the world, everything. They know all kind of stuff. They know every train you could take to any place. They know every baseball player, what is his scores or whatever. I don't know what they call them in baseball. I think in basketball they say how many points he scored, how many rebounds, right? I know about that. We used to, right? But they know about everything. They know about science and chemistry and math. They know about buying and selling. But they don't know anything about the deen. So the Shaykh is saying, the alim bishariya, the one who has knowledge of the sharia, of the divine law of Allah. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعِلْمِ. Allah has favored him, blessed him with knowledge. ثُمَّ إِذَا عَمَلَ بِهِ فَهَذِهِ مِنَّ أُخْرَى. And then if he acts upon that knowledge, then this is a second blessing, a second favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ كَانَ هَذَا شَأْنُهُمْ. And this was the affair, the way of the companions, that they used to act about the knowledge, and then they used to act upon it. فَيَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنَ الْحُكْمِ الشَّرْعِي مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ يَعْمَلُوا بِهِ. So they, the companions of the Prophet رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, they used to ask him about a legal ruling, a matter of the deen, for the purpose of acting upon it. That was the reason why they asked, not just to know. They used to ask with the intent that when they know, they're going to act upon it. بِخِلَافْ مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّاسَ الْيَوْمِ. يعني, unlike what many of the people are upon today. فَإِنَّهُمْ, the people today, they're asking about الْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ حَتَّى, there's a mistake here in the Arabic book, right? حَتَّى, it says, حَتَّى إِذَا عَمِلُوا بِهَا, should be عَلِمُوا بِهَا. يعني, they ask about a matter, حَتَّى إِذَا عَلِمُوا, if they came to know about it, تَرَكُوهَا وَنَبَذُوهَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Then they, once they came to know it, they asked the question, when they came to know it, they left it. They threw it behind their backs. And they didn't pay any mind to it. وَكَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يُرِيدُونَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا. And there's another mistake here, it says, لَا يُرِيدُونَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ لَا مُجَرَّد. It should be إِلَّا مُجَرَّد. إِلَّا should be. وَكَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يُرِيدُونَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا مُجَرَّد الْمَعْرِفَةَ النَّظَرِيَّةَ. It is as though they don't desire, they don't intend, they don't want anything from knowledge except simply any theoretical knowledge. يعني المعرفة النظرية, يعني just the theory perspective of the matter. Just want to know theoretically, يعني how does this go? يعني what about this? يعني what if a person is praying and they did such and such? They just want to know about it. Just what? Knowledge for knowledge's sake, not to act upon it. Not يعني paying attention to the fact that what? Yani that the Prophet ﷺ said that a person will be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah before they go forward, yani about four, or in some narrations said five, and from amongst them, ماذا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ. Yani a person will be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah, what did you do with that which you knew? وَهَذَا فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ خُسْرَانٌ مُبِينٌ. And this in reality is a clear loss, that a person just asks just to know about it, not with the intent of acting upon it. لِأَنَّ مَنْ تَرَكَ الْعَمَلْ بَعْدَ عِلْمِهِ بِهِ فَإِنَّ الْجَاهِلْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. And this requires some discussion, and I know it's almost time for the adhan, so we'll just take a minute, يعني, and say that the Shaykh, he says here, this is a clear loss. Why? Because the one who abandons acting after coming to have knowledge of a thing, after they came to know about it, and then they don't act upon it, then indeed the ignorant person is better than him. And be careful, yani, that we don't take this in the wrong way, right? And we say, like, from one side, yes, the Shaykh, yani, perhaps he means, yani, like we just said, because the person will be asked, what did you do with that which you knew? So in that perspective, the ignorant person, not absolutely, but perhaps the ignorant person who didn't know won't be asked, what did you do with what you knew? He didn't know. But the one who knows will be asked, and they won't be able to answer. And from another perspective, who say, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka awalayka, the Qur'an will be a proof for you against you. From this perspective also, yani, if you came to know something from the Qur'an, it will either be a proof for you if you acted upon it, or against you if you didn't. Naam. So the Shaykh, he said that yani, this is a clear loss, that a person yani seeks knowledge simply just to know it from a theoretical perspective, yani academic yani perspective, just to have knowledge for knowledge's sake, not having the intent to act upon it. And he said, yani, this is so because the one who abandons acting upon the knowledge that he has, then this person, the ignorant person, is better than this one. And we said this is from one perspective, but on the other hand, yani, is this an excuse then for people to be ignorant, as some of the groups of Muslims, and there are some specific people, I have heard this myself, that they say, don't go with the people to the lectures and the studies and the classes with these people, just getting knowledge. Come with us and act. Do actions. Go around the lands. Yani tour the lands. And you will learn how to practice Islam without knowledge. Yani basically. And they say, and if you don't have the knowledge, then you won't be questioned about it. So you'll escape. So better not to know. Be ignorant. So we say to this, in case anybody might imagine that this is what is intended, it evident, obviously is not, then we say that it is not permissible. It is not permissible, aslan, for a Muslim to be ignorant. This is not permissible. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلُ ذِكْرٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah commanded us, if you don't know, ask the people of knowledge. That's a command. So if you don't know, you can't say, I didn't know, and then I don't want to know. No, if you don't know, you have to ask. That's a command. وَالْأَمْرَ يَقْتَدِيَ الْوُجُوبِ. The Prophet ﷺ ordered us for something, means that it is obligatory. And the Prophet ﷺ himself said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Without the words that follow it. That seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. So this is also a command. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said it's obligatory. So therefore if a person doesn't do it, they're in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, how can a person hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without doing deeds that are pleasing to him? How can a person expect to earn the rahmah of Allah? That the Prophet ﷺ said, no one enter the Jannah, not even I, except that Allah covers me. يَتَغَمَّدَنِي بِرَحْمَتِهِ. How can a person earn the rahmah of Allah without doing anything? And how can a person do deeds if they don't have any knowledge? And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he said what? In the chapter heading for one of the chapters in Sahih Bukhari, Al-Ilm قبل القول والعمل. Yani knowledge precedes speech and action. How can you speak? How can you act without knowledge? And if you don't act, how can you expect the rahmah of Allah? So you have to have knowledge, it's obligatory. Indeed, the ignorant person is upon disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From every angle, this person, la ya'lam wa la ya'mal. He doesn't know and he doesn't act. He doesn't know and he doesn't act. And a person being excused due to ignorance is not an absolute principle. Al-udhr bil-jahl is not absolute. Some people may be excused due to ignorance. And that is primarily the people who didn't have a chance to know. So Allah may excuse them since they didn't know. Not the one who had a chance to know, but didn't want to know. I don't want to know, because I want to yani escape. You will not escape in that way. After this, the Shaykh, he says, فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ. And this is the final issue that the Shaykh mentions in this topic. He says, وَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ. What if a person says, if we saw some people, يُقَاتِلُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ نَحْنُ نُقَاتِلُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ دِفَاعًا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Yani, there were some people, and they are fighting, and they are saying that we are fighting for Islam, in defense of Islam, and then one of them is killed. فَهَلْ نَشْهَدُ لَهُ بِأَنَّهُ شَهِيدٌ. Then do we bear witness that this person is a shaheed? And he says, we're fighting for Islam, we're fighting to defend Islam. If that person is killed, can we confirm, verify, acknowledge that yes, this person is a shaheed? And this is common today. Yani I saw in some of the graves in Egypt, I don't want to pick on Egypt, but I was living in Egypt at that time. And we saw in some of the graves, shaheed so and so. Yani this person is shaheed. Huh? He's shaheed how? Because he was killed in something, whatever. So they decided that he's shaheed. So the Shaykh is saying, if a person claims that they're fighting the way of Allah, they claim that, and then we saw them fighting, and one of them was killed, should we, can we, is it right or correct or permissible to bear witness that this person is a shaheed, a martyr in the way of Allah? And by the way, let me just comment here, and I don't have time to discuss it in detail, but what happened in New York a few days ago, with this guy killing people with a truck or whatever, this has nothing to do with Islam, right? And this is known to us, but in case somebody is visiting us here tonight, there may be somebody just visiting us, right? This here's one right here, his brother visiting us. We want it to be known that this has nothing to do with Islam. We don't think that a person who kills people or is killed in this kind of way is honored or respected in Islam. This is haram, forbidden in Islam. Allah doesn't allow us to kill innocent people. But the martyr, the shaheed, who fights in the way of Allah is the person who fights on the battlefield, when armies meet on the battlefield. If that person is fighting for the sake of Allah. Not yani suicide bombing or killing innocent people. This has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is free of this. And the people who are doing it are only ignorant people, for real. Not la shakka. There's no doubt they are ignorant. And maybe they have other problems too. Some of them might even be mentally unstable people. But at least we know for sure that they are ignorant. Because nobody who has knowledge of Islam, no Muslim who believes in Allah in the last day, can do such an act except that they are ignorant. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful manner. I mean that's the reality of it. They don't know anything about Islam. So the Shaykh, he said, so if the person is killed in this way, can we bear witness for that person that he is a martyr, that he has died in the way of Allah? The answer, the Shaykh said, la. We cannot bear witness that this person is a shaheed, is a martyr. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma min maqloom yuqlamu fi sabilillah, wallahu a'lam bi man yuqlamu fi sabilihi illa jaa yawm al-qiyamah. The end of the hadith, the Shaykh says, yani there's no person who is wounded, yani no wounded person who is wounded in the way of Allah. And Allah is the one who knows best who it is that is wounded in His way, for His sake, seeking His pleasure. There's no such person who is wounded in the way of Allah, no wounded person is wounded in the way of Allah, except that that person will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with blood gushing forth from his wounds. Al-lawnu lawnu dam, wal-rihu rih al-misk. And the blood of that person will have the color of blood, but the smell will be the scent of sweet-smelling fragrance, misk. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Before I go further with this hadith, I just want to mention that the Shaykh has mentioned this hadith with this wording, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ يُقْلَمُ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. This wording came in Bukhari, in one narration, and the other narrations in Bukhari, and in Muslim, and in the Musnad of Ahmed, the Sunan al-Kubra of Bayhaqi, and other books. And it came in Bukhari and Muslim, Sunan al-Bayhaqi and others, without this wording. And this wording came in one narration, in Sahih al-Bukhari. And I point that out because yani most of the wordings of the hadith is as the Shaykh mentioned it here. Yani, but this particular narration that came with this wording, the Prophet ﷺ is narrated that he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُقْلَمُ أَحَدٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ يُقْلَمُ فِي سَبِيلِهِ إِلَّا جَاءَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَاللَّوْنُ لَوْنُ الدَّمِ وَالرِّيحُ رِيحُ الْمِسْكِ. And in this narration that mentioned this word, and these words are very important. And the reason why I mention that, because maybe you'll see the hadith in Bukhari or in Muslim or in the Sunan of Bayhaqi or in other books, and you won't see the wording, Allah knows best who is killed in his way. You won't find it. Because in those narrations, it's not mentioned, only in this one narration. And the Shaykh mentioned it, yani, with this wording, and that's why I wanted to point this out, in case a person looks for it, and they didn't find it with this wording. But indeed, it did come in Bukhari, yani, hadith number 2803. In other narrations, this wording is not mentioned. But in any case, the Shaykh says that there is no person who is wounded in the way of Allah, and Allah knows best who is wounded in his way, except that he will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with his wounds gushing forth with the blood. The blood, it will be the color of blood. I mean, that which is coming forth from their wounds will be the color of blood. It will look like blood, but it will smell like sweet-smelling fragrance. And by the way, yani some of the scholars said that the wisdom behind the person coming forth in this condition on Yawm al-Qiyamah is that these wounds and this blood gushing forth will be a witness of his excellence and his virtue and his expending, yani giving up his life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his condition, Allah will bring him forth in a condition that will be a witness for him of what he has done for the sake of Allah in this world. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, he comments on this point, yani the wording in this one particular hadith of Bukhari. His saying, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ يُقْلَمُ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. And Allah is the one, yani there's no person who's wounded in the way of Allah except they will come before Yawm al-Qiyamah in this condition, with their wounds gushing forth with blood that will be the color of blood and the scent of sweet smelling fragrance. There's no person like this except they will come like this. And in the middle of that statement, the Prophet ﷺ said, but Allah knows best who is the one who is wounded in his way, who is the one who is killed in his way. The Shaykh says, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْأَمْرَ يَتَعَلَّقُ. بالنية المجهولة لنا المعلومة عند الله. And this wording points to the fact that the matter, the amr, يعني the key crucial factor of who is the shaheed, this is a matter that's connected to an-niyyah, the intention, which is majhula lana, unknown to us, ma'luma عند Allah, but is known to Allah alone. Allah is the only one. Yani the key factor of who is the one who fights, who is wounded, who is killed in the way of Allah, it is only known to Allah. Why? Because it's based on intention. And no one knows the intention from the human beings, except it is only Allah who knows this. And this is a very important point, so that we should be cautious from saying somebody is a martyr who died in the way of Allah. And these people today, these ISIS people, these really criminal people, murderers, well, murdering more Muslims than kafirs, and in any case, it's all haram what they are doing. These people are always claiming somebody's shaheed, shaheed, shaheed. Like they know what's the intent in somebody's heart. And Allah only knows the intent that's in the heart. And the Shaykh closes this point by saying that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed the people one day and he said, "O people, you all are saying," yani this is the time of Umar, he's saying, "Innakum takuluna fulan shaheed wa fulan shaheed, so and so is a martyr and so is a martyr. Walla'allahu," and there's a mistake in the translation in English. If you're looking at the English translation, please make a note here, because this is a mistake. They said perhaps he has stolen his riding animal. That's not what Umar ibn Khattab said. He said, "La'allahu an yakuna qad awqara rahilatahu." Yani perhaps he has overloaded his riding animal. Overloaded it, not stolen it. Overloaded the riding animal. Yani qad hammalaha min al-ghulul. Yani he has overloaded it with what? With the spoils of war that he has taken before they were divided. Yani he didn't steal the riding animal, but he stole from the spoils of war before they were properly divided by the leader of the army. And he loaded his animal with this. Yani Omar is saying that we don't know what this person's real condition is. Perhaps he has overloaded his riding animal with some of the spoils of war that he has taken before, and he has stole them secretly before they were divided properly. The meaning of this is Omar is saying, don't say like this. La taqulu hakadha. ولكن قولوا, but rather what you should say is, من مات أو قتل في سبيل الله فهو شهيد. This is what you should say. Whoever died or was killed in the way of Allah, he's a shaheed. Whoever it is, we don't know who it is, but whoever has actually died or been killed in the way of Allah, and Allah knows what's in their hearts, the intent which determines that a person is actually shaheed or not, whoever it is that has died in this way, that person is a shaheed. So don't bear witness for any person specifically, لِشَخْصٍ بِعَيْنِهِ. Don't say any specific person that he is a shaheed, except the one, إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَهُ لَهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنَّهُ فَإِنَّكَ تَشْهَدُ لَهُ. Except the one that the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ has borne witness for that one indeed he is a shaheed. As for anyone besides this, that other than whom the Prophet ﷺ has borne witness for, فَقُلْ كَلَامٍ عَامًا, then just say something general, general speech. Say, whoever is killed in the way of Allah, then he is a shaheed. Or this one, we hope, yani we wish, we don't know, but we hope that this person is from the martyrs, or whatever is similar to that from the speech that we might say, وَاللَّهُ مُوَفِّقْ, and Allah is the one who grants yani success, the ability to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we can take one question, and it's almost time for the event. If there's something unclear about what we said, now.
Just the Azab al-Jahl. Well, what's the extent of Azab al-Jahl? Like, would it be in the obligation of the Abidin or the...
Al-Udhr bil-Jahl, yani means that a person is excused due to ignorance. We're saying that this is not absolute. Al-Itlaq. But rather, it is, yani in some circumstances. Yani, there are different circumstances when a person might be excused due to ignorance. Yani, there are a lot of different things. It could be an obligatory thing or a non-obligatory thing. The person could be excused due to ignorance. Even in obligatory duties. Maybe the person is a new Muslim. They just took Shahada yesterday or today, and they don't know all the duties of a Muslim. They don't know what's obligatory. A lot of times people are given Shahada today. I have witnessed this. I actually sat and talked to a man after they gave him Shahada. They didn't tell him anything except any just general discussion. And they gave him Shahada, and he doesn't know the pillars of Islam, the arkan of Iman. So a person might even be excused from knowing the obligatory duties of Islam, even knowing the pillars of Islam, if he just became a Muslim. Maybe he's in a land, one moment, maybe he's in a land where there are no scholars, there are no students of knowledge. Naam. And so he didn't know. Like we were in one time, a time, right? When there was nothing, there were no books, there were no scholars, there were no students. We lived in that time here, when there was no knowledge. We just used to read the books from Pakistan and India. Huh? That New World Enterprise used to bring over for 50 cents a book and sell it to us for $3. Naam, there were no books of scholars. There were no scholars coming here. There were no students of knowledge. Naam, what is it? Now, the main fact that determines whether a person is a shaheed, a martyr, that no human being knows. A martyr is a person who is killed fighting, for the defense of Islam, to raise Islam up in the earth. Who is sincerely fighting for the sake of Allah, not for spoils of war, not for his people, not for fame to be praised, not just because he loves the fight, because he's courageous, because some people just like to fight. Yes. Not so much now in the streets. People today just like to kill. But in the old days, or even in the prisons now, some people like to fight. Okay, they just like to fight because that's what they love to do. So they fight every day. In some of the prisons, the bell is ringing every day. Riot bell. Because somebody's fighting all the time. Some people just like to fight. So the person who didn't fight for any of those reasons, but really they fought in the right way, in the right manner as prescribed by Islam, for the right with the right intention. Nobody knows the outward things you can see, but the intention, we don't know that. Only Allah knows that. That's why we don't say this person or that person, anybody specifically, is shaheed. Doesn't matter how much we knew them, how much we love them, and how good it looked on the outside. Allah is the only one who knows. We can say, as the Shaykh said, we hope, we wish that this person would be from amongst the martyrs. We wish, we hope. Naam, Abdul Haq. We got to stop here for the Iqamah. Yeah, this is not the time to discuss that, Akhi, because it requires some detailed discussion, and we don't have the time to discuss it now, but let me just answer it for you in the briefest way possible, and we will say this, that this hadith and similar hadith like this is in no way whatsoever a case for people who call to suicide bombing, that a person kills themselves, supposedly in the way of Allah, and then they're going to get Jannah. This is no way a support for that, because this is a person who is not committing suicide. By any means. This is the person who's fighting the enemy. And if they are killed, then they're killed in the way of Allah, if their intention was right. This is different than a person who kills themselves. Killing yourself, suicide, in Islam, absolutely, without question, is haram. There's no proof whatsoever that a person could kill themselves and be rewarded by Allah. Rather, that person is destined to be in the hellfire eternally, where Allah will punish them by them repeating the act of the way they killed themselves with. Unless Allah has mercy on whoever he wants to have mercy upon. Unless Allah has mercy on whoever he has. But what is intended for that person, what they are entitled to, is that they be in the hellfire eternally for committing suicide. Because that's the punishment for committing suicide, that a person will be in the hellfire. If Allah forgave that person, Allah forgives whomever he wills anything less than shirk. Anything less than shirk, person didn't die worshipping other than Allah, whatever they did, Allah might forgive them. Or He might punish them and then pardon them after some time of punishment. Okay? But this cannot be used as a proof for committing suicide. Suicide is clearly haram. There's no doubt about it. And this hadith does not indicate anybody committing suicide. Rather, this person, he said he fought. He didn't commit suicide. He fought and then he was, يعني قاتل وقتل. That means he fought and he was killed. He didn't kill himself. And none of the hadith that they use are proof for committing suicide. Okay, so we declare ourselves free from such. May Allah yani save us from this kind of ignorance. And may Allah protect the Muslims who are ignorant from being victims of these criminals who are calling people who are ignorant to do that which is contrary to Islam, that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.